Ace Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the final edition of the Mediocrity something or other. What the hell did we call this? Moments of Mediocrity.
Yeah.
Of season one. Man, I can't remember what the hell it's called anymore. We've been in it so long. So, my name is Jonas. I'm your host of the Crazy Town Podcast. Welcome to the final best of edition before we start season two next week. I'm here with TNT Dynamite.
Yeah. TNT Dynamite here, the explosive one. TNT, D-I-N-O-M-I-G-H-T. Can't wait to get into season two, man. Are you excited, Jonas?
I'm so freaking excited to start season two. It's going to be sweet.
I can smell your semi from here.
I think that's the fart I just let out in my studio.
They smell similar.
Yeah, they do. Anyways, we're going to jump right into it today. I'm going to start with episode 9. It has the Kate and Jeff from the Super PP Time podcast. This is an episode without TNT Dynamite. It's where we discuss a bunch of Skittles being spilled on the freeway and a couple other weird things kind of that go with that. So we'll go ahead and jump into that. It's pretty awesome, and we'll be back right after this.
Where am I?
All right, guys. First, I wanted to get into this weird fucking article I saw the other day about it happened in Dodge County, Wisconsin. Thousands of red Skittles spilled all across the highway, and it was a mystery. Like, the sheriff's office didn't know where it came from. So, I thought the story was neat in general, but I guess my main concern is where the Skittles were actually headed. You guys have any guesses where you think these Skittles were headed?
Well, my first question is this really something for the sheriff's department to be dealing with? doesn't seem like a sheriff kind of a problem, but
They called in the SWAT team originally, and they're
right. Then they just were like, let's just call it an airstrike. Let's just take them out.
They carpet bombed the road.
What they didn't know is these were outlaw Skittles. That's where they failed
That's
to say
right.
That.
Sure, sure.
A rogue band of Skittles going to try to rob banks all across the country. That's the hidden part of the story.
But you know, they were just born to lose. You know, these poor guys, they just didn't make it to the crime. It's a shame. It's really sad. It's a sad story for me.
They just ended up melted into the fucking tar of the road.
All the woodland creatures from around there just went crazy on that.
Are just spastic.
Funny you should mention that, because where they were actually going was to a farm to be fed to cows.
Yeah,
Wait a minute. They're not going to eat that. They're not going to eat it.
I didn't believe it either. But what this article said is that they were the rejected Skittles, so like the fucking ones nobody wanted.
Oh, no.
That's like the greatest Skittle that ever happened. Kind of tastes like you're eating a toy. So
right, exactly. So how could they be any worse?
The
than
worst
that?
Ones. Yeah.
Yeah, the rejected Skittles. You mean every one that's ever been manufactured? This is the most horrible candy in the history of candy.
Yeah, our bodies reject even the ones we eat. Our bodies reject them instantly.
They come out in full form. You just shit Skittles out.
Exactly.
I
suppose could be a source of income. You could just resell them, I guess.
Maybe that's what
they
do. I
don't understand Skittles. I mean, it just seems like when they're making candy, they just phoned that in when they made that. It just tastes like it's just some sugar, and they just put a coating on it and just said, all right, ship it out.
That's about right.
We're tired of thinking of candy. Like we did stuff with fruit flavors. We did it. Exactly. It's time to retire. It's time. Like, I don't have the love of the game anymore. I just
really,
want to make
anybody really like Skittles.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I kind of like Skittles a little, like three flavors.
Come on, you're lying to yourself.
It's, you're denying yourself much better candies.
Yeah, I tell myself that every single day when I eat them. I eat them in the corner, like crying, like in the crying game, like I just found out, my girlfriend was a man sort of situation.
Sure.
Yeah, you just found out that those M&Ms were in fact Skittles. The original draft of the crying game. Yeah.
When I find out that my girlfriend is a man, I like Three Musketeers personally.
Right. Then you get three M&Ms. That's how I roll.
Yeah, I feel like I got to go all the way to Snickers, or it doesn't bring me back from the sadness. But you know, we all have our limits, I suppose.
So, anyways, so like they this farmer literally said these were going to his farm because they are cheap carbs. So I guess that like Skittles sell these to the farmers. It says they would sell them to the farmers, or they just end up in a landfill. So like that's a really broad, like, one side to the other fucking argument.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either they're going to feed the thing that you're going to feed your family, or we're just going to throw it in the garbage and it'll stay there till the end of time and not change. Yeah, these are the two options.
I think they should cut out the middleman on all Skittles and just put them right in the landfill.
Just the production line goes right into the dump.
Exactly. The conveyor belt just goes right into a rat's nest.
Yeah, they should make them there because then they don't have to spend the money on the truck to bring it straight to the dump. Mm-hmm. Really would save a lot of money.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I didn't think you could just feed just anything to an animal and they just eat it. I mean, this is not like grass at all.
Right.
I mean, well, it's just the opposite of grass, really.
But Kate, don't you have a dog? I mean, wouldn't that eat anything in your house if given half a chance?
Why, yes. I don't know why I thought a cow would be different, though.
Dude, I am totally with you. I totally thought that this sounded like the most wrong thing in the world.
Because I just think it sounds wrong to do it. I think it just sounds like yeah, the cow's going to do it because they're morons, but you're supposed to be smart and not do that to the cow.
Right.
Right.
Well, here's the argument. I was looking on this later. It says, okay, so they have to tell the consumer if it's a grass fed cow or like a or if it's like a
or a Skittle fed cow.
Yeah. Right. Like like, do they have candy fed cow determination? Like, that seems like you should relay that to the consumer. Like, if little Jimmy's fucking pounding a steak filled with like Skittles blood, I mean, like, what the mm-hmm. fuck, dude?
Well, that's all that he wants. I mean, that's like a little kid. He's like, yeah. I can have candy and a burger at the same time. That's all I've ever wanted in life. He hasn't had a lot of time to think about what he wants in life, I guess. But
yeah, well, you know, it can't always be a winner, you know. So no, here it gets fucking weirder, dudes. I went and saw another article because this got me thinking. Like, what the fuck else do they feed cows across the world? There's a farm in Mayura Station in Australia. They have been around 171 years, so I guess they do shit.
That's actually their slogan.
We do shit. Right.
Yeah, they have it on a crest in Latin. I guess we do shit. above like a lion and a dragon.
Yeah, their ancestors shouted that when they rode into battle.
They're on a horse with a suit of armor screaming, yeah. I guess we do shit. Yeah.
They didn't do great in battle, but everybody thought they were real nice. So,
So this farm, they pride themselves because they said their cows eat, in and I quote, the best Cadbury chocolate and gummy bears and other ingredients. The farmer says a happy cow is a good cow. But I have no fucking clue what that has to do with candy.
Yeah, I have no context for if a happy cow is in fact a good cow. I don't know.
And our cows, like, what does a bad cow do? Like, stand there, like, with a nasty look on his face? I mean,
yeah.
He aggressively looks at you.
Smoking cigarettes and hanging around with fast women. And yeah. Yeah, sure.
Happy cow is a good cow. You think he meant to say that? I feel like maybe that got lost in Australian translation or something.
It may have.
I'm just surprised, like, that they're talking about the best gummy bears as well, because like the worst Skittle, which is worse than anything else, is still slightly better than the best gummy bear.
Yeah.
And gummy bears are like insulation for your tub or something. Like,
well, I keep going up the chain buying gummy bears. Like, I'm like looking online for $1,000 gummy bears because every pack of gummy bears I've ever gotten. I open them. I check the date. They're always taste like they've been around for a couple of years.
Well, that's how they have to age them, or else they're no good.
They're,
man,
aged like a fine wine.
Yeah, like, sure. I read an article yesterday that in Kentucky, there's more barrels of bourbon being aged than there's actually people in the state or something fucked up like that.
I accept that ratio.
So they have to, like, they have these warehouses full of, like, these ones are only 6 months old. We can't send those out to the stores yet because they have to get hard when they're supposed to be soft and pliable.
Yeah, we're not monsters. I mean, we're going to send it out when it's ready. You know, we're going to send it out when these things are just as horrible as they could ever possibly be, or else people won't recognize them as gummy bears.
Right, exactly. They'd be like, what is this? This tastes good? This isn't a gummy bear.
Yeah, this is soft and delicious. No.
Really, they always taste so tough, like beyond, like, I don't get why people eat these things.
How many have you had? Like, you seem like you've actually tried it a lot, Cage. Like, it seems continually.
Well, I've got little kids.
It.
Well, because I've got little kids, and they always want gummy bears. And I'm like, okay, we just opened that one. The date was, it was manufactured yesterday. Let's try it again. And no, it tastes like leather. I mean, it has the texture, you know, of something industrial.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like something that you put between, like, your brake pads and your tire or something like that.
I think it would work if we did that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could save you guys a lot of money down the road. Just replace all your brakes with gummy bears.
Yeah, we'd be dead, and then we don't have any more expenses.
Exactly. That's the way it saves you money.
Yeah.
So when I heard they eat Cadbury chocolate, the first fucking thing that popped in my head is these cows just eat those Cadbury Easter eggs all day. Like, the farmer just walks around and pops them in their mouth like a pill.
And they get them all year round, yeah.
That's why I can't find them in my grocery store. All those damn Australian cows are just bogarting them all the time.
Savages, I'll tell you, dude.
Those things are a little bit horrifying as well, only because it's like the size of your fist, and it's like essentially like shoving a baseball of sugar into your... And like trying to fit a baseball in your mouth made of sugar.
A delicious baseball.
Yeah. Sure. Like all baseballs, it's delicious, of course.
Thank you. Yes. What I thought, you know, when you first said this, is I imagine there are cows out there in Australia saying, hey, you know, they're feeding us fine chocolate. Things are turning around between us. Maybe they're not going to kill us and eat us after all.
That's right. Maybe they're trying to bang us. Like, they're trying to
they're seducing
they're
us.
Trying to get, like, if the flowers and the wine come in, then all of a sudden then it gets really romantic for these cows, I'm sure.
They're growing dandelions in the field and serving them chocolate on dishes, and then they cut their fucking head off and take them to the goddamn butchering plant.
Yeah.
you know,
there are worse lives, I suppose.
Right. Right, I wish I was wined and dined and my head got chopped off. I mean, that would be pretty fucking amazing, right?
You could go on the internet and make that happen this afternoon. Yeah. Are you crazy? You could get that done today, I'm sure of it. Someone would come by.
Yeah, just put it on Craigslist. Within an hour, I'd have like 10 emails and phone calls.
There'd be a line down the block around your house, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, internet. It helps us connect to all the weirdos that live in our area.
It makes all the weirdos feel like they're normal because there's 20 other weirdos who like to do that too.
Yes.
There's like a subgroup on Reddit just for people who chop people's heads off after feeding them Cadbury cream eggs in a field.
Yeah, I saw a documentary. A lady, she's 600 pounds, and she made a living off of guys sending her food and money to buy food so they could watch her eat online.
Wow, a lid for every pot, I guess.
As it were.
Exactly. Well, the last little tidbit about this article, and that'll fucking be about it on it. So this farmer says he uses 10 tons of chocolate a week, right? So, right.
Wow.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
And that's only three cows.
Yes. He only has three cows at a time.
That's right. He detonates them with chocolate and then brings in a few more cows and just keeps jamming them in there.
So what he said was, a few years back, he stopped using chocolate. And he said the customers actually complained to him, but without telling them that they didn't eat chocolate anymore, complained to them that the meat tasted different. So somehow the fucking chocolate, like, makes the beef better, according to this farmer.
It works its way right into the steak parts of you.
That happened to me. I had a Big Mac And I called McDonald's Corporation. I said, I think about 2 weeks ago, this cow may have had a different kind of feed than it usually has. And I feel like they heard me.
Yeah, I had a different experience. I ate a Burger King burger a couple of years ago. It was the last time I ate there because when it came out, it smelled exactly as it did when it was going in. I was like, nothing happened to this.
What do you mean going into what? What do you mean?
Going into my body. It smelled like a Burger King burger. And as it was leaving, same exact story. I was like, really? my body didn't recognize this.
it just passed it through like a kernel of corn.
This isn't my problem. This isn't my area. Just let it go.
Yeah, your stomach was like, hey, listen, I'm giving this to you guys. Your intestine's like, no, we don't want that.
No, we don't. This isn't our job either. Yeah.
I mean, that's really it about this article. I thought it was fucked up. I wanted to talk to you guys about, see what you thought. I mean, do you have any final thoughts about your cows potentially eating Skittles or chocolate as their fucking feed?
I think we should talk to a couple of the cows. I think we should talk to a couple of cows and see if they like it.
I do too, but first I want to say this. Okay, so these people could tell when like they switched, they could tell by the taste, like when he just like switched the chocolate or throttled back on the chocolate. Question I have is, what do we taste like? Like if a shark ate us, would they be like, oh, this guy's been having a little bit too much onion? You know what I mean? Right. Are we flavored?
We have to be. Yeah. Like you taste like Target cupcakes somehow.
And Sprite. Yeah.
And Sprite. And they would know. They would know that that's, Kay's heavy into Target cupcakes.
Well, I need to beware because those are delicious and everyone wants to eat me, right?
No, I don't think so. I think it means that you
want to eat me, don't you?
Kind of.
All right, everybody. Had a lot of fun with the Super Pee-Pee Time podcast, guys. Maybe we'll have them on the show again this season. Not sure what's in store yet. But TNT, I want to jump right into season 5 now. Or it's not season 5. Holy shit, I'm jumping the gun, folks. Episode 5 from season 1. It's just me, just Jonas, talking about the 36th and a half anniversary of a casino bombing that nobody remembers. Did you remember it?
No.
Do you remember it now?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do because I talked about it. That's the effect of the Crazy Town podcast. And soon, you all will know about it and will remember it because before this, no one did. It actually has a pretty cool twist in it that is really the only reason I talked about it. So I'm going to go ahead and get that on now. You guys enjoy and we'll be back shortly.
The Crazy Town podcast.
I wanted to touch on first August 27th, 1980. Now, a lot of you may not have even been born then. I mean, shit, I wasn't even born then. But back then, on that date, there was a casino bombing. Back in, I don't know what fucking state this was in now that I think about it, but 600 pounds of dynamite blew a 50 by 30 crater into 5 floors of Harvey's Hotel and Casino and blew out every one of the 250 windows in the building on this date. Now, I bet this is something that none of you have ever heard of, because frankly, I had never heard of it either. But I think the reason behind that is that no one died in this bombing. As a matter of fact, nobody was even hurt. There was a guy. His name was John Burgess, B-I-R-G-E-S, and he lost like $750,000 at this casino. I believe it was playing blackjack, something like that. So, as any rational person would do, he decided that he would just bomb the casino, because that's what people do, because when you are an asshole and lose all your money. So, what he decided to do was actually pretty ingenious for being a psychopath. He put all of that dynamite inside a faux copy machine. Basically, what he had to do was figure out a way to get this copy machine into the hotel so he could ransom or blow it up or whatever. And I'm sure you're thinking, well, how the hell did he do that? Well, security wasn't as tight in 1980 as it is now in 2016. As the story read, he pulled up to the casino at 4:45 in the morning, pulled the copier out of a van, walked up to the security guard, and told him that he was copier maintenance, and it was very important that he got the fax machine copier, whatever, into the offices before they opened in the morning. So not only did the security guard just let him in, he held the door open for him as he pushed the copy machine into the hotel. Now, I know nowadays this would be ridiculous, but I mean, shit, back in like the 1980, they let you smoke on airplanes and shit. Shit wasn't nearly as crazy as it is today. But I think it's everyone will agree that it's probably a little better, because you can't just push a bomb into a casino and have the security guard help you get it in there. So once they learned there was a bomb in there, I believe they said like an office worker or something noticed that the copy machine wasn't working, and then they investigated it and saw like the explosive or whatever. The sheriff deputies ended up clearing all of the people out of the hotel and ended up getting all their items out of the hotel. And the owner said, the article even said the owner was proud that no one filed a claim saying they lost an item. Well, yeah, dude, you have a fucking giant crater in your hotel. I think that's the least of your worries, that someone lost a goddamn earring or their coat got left behind. So why would you be proud of that? I'm sure that dude's a fucking weirdo. They said that he wanted some ransom or something like that, and they flew this plane around, and I don't know. It was a really weird story that, like, he kind of gave him a wild goose chase about getting the money or whatever. And actually, he ended up getting caught because one of his sons told his, at the time, girlfriend that his dad was the one that put the bomb in the hotel. Well, then they broke up, and she was on a date with some new dude, and they heard the story about the bomb on the hotel, and they fucking narked on him and cashed it in. The dude ended up going to jail for it. So, I mean, he almost would have got away with it, but his sons basically blew his cover. I think they even testified against him in this case. So, but that is besides the point. The reason the bomb went off wasn't even that the psychopath detonated it. So I guess the bomb squad, the FBI, whoever was taking care of the situation, they examined this thing and did x-rays of it and whatever. And after 33 hours of trying to figure out what to do with it, they decided that if they could set off the top part of the bomb on the detonator, and they'd be able to do something in it so it wouldn't go off. So they decided they would just set off the bomb. Well, what they didn't realize and didn't find out is that there was a second power supply in the bottom of the bomb, and it blew up the hotel. So essentially, the cops blew the bomb up on purpose in the hotel, setting that giant crater, blowing up all the windows. So I thought that was pretty fucking crazy, and the story was kind of old. That's why it's the 36th and a half anniversary. I guess the story was the 35th, but hey, it's a little late. I found it late. They did say that the hotel was closed for like a year, and now it's owned by Harrah's, and it's like a 740-room hotel, so they've like tripled it in size and everything. So, I mean, I guess it has a somewhat happy ending, but how often does a casino bombing basically fall by the wayside and nobody talks about it? I mean, basically, it's because there was no death. Now, I mean, that's definitely great. Now, I mean, I'm not a big fan of people dying in hotel bombings or whatever, casino bombings. But if a bunch of fuckers would have died because this dude was a nutbag and set it off himself, you know that this shit would have always lived on, because there'd be a bunch of people to remember that died. Now they just remember a hotel had a hole in it. So it ended up being kind of a happy story, but I thought it was fucking awesome that the police were the ones that set the bomb off. So let me know what you think. Hit me up on the blog. Shoot me a message. Let me know what you think of this fucked up story. And I will be right back on the Crazy Town Podcast.
So, T,
TNT, what did you think about the law enforcement being the ones that set the bomb off in the casino?
Dude, I thought it was going to be like some Ocean's 11 type fucking Brad Pitt and Orlando Bloom were going to be like the masterminds.
Wait. Orlando Bloom wasn't even in Ocean's 11.
Well, you know, but he could make it.
Yeah, we'll just say he was. We'll say Matt Damon wasn't in there, and Lego Lost the Elf from Lord of the Rings was.
Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg was in it. Fucking Frank Sinatra made an appearance in the new one, even though he's dead.
This is better than the one I saw.
Yes. But anyways, you were saying.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I wasn't expecting that twist. That's crazy. Yeah,
but you know, I think my favorite part of that story, other than the cops set off the bomb, was that, the security guard, helped him get the fax machine and, hey, I gotta repair this. He's like, okay, I'm gonna hold the door open for you. God, how security's changed over the last 36 and a half years. God. Anyways, we're moving on to episode 12. Do you remember talking about suspect brand names?
Oh, yeah, okay. I was there for that.
You were. Yeah. It was, you know, everybody, there's a lot of products that don't live up to the hype. By hype, I mean their name is a little misleading, or their brand name, I should say. So, I talk about a couple, we talk about some things, so go ahead and check them out, and we'll be right back after this. You can let us know what you think about that.
The Crazy Town Podcast.
Dynamite, I want to talk to you about branding. Not like branding like, you know, like fraternities do where they like brand their arms, or branding a cow to like make sure that you have them in your staple. Not like hot iron branding.
Okay.
Do you have any hot iron branding?
I have a tattoo or two, but no branding, no.
You don't have like an X branded on your arm or anything cool like that?
No. How about you?
No. You take the fork and you get it red hot on the stove and you spell out like mom on your arm. I don't have that.
Is this a thing?
No, haven't you seen those like those fraternities where they have those big burns on their arm with like the shape of like the Omega or whatever? Haven't you ever seen that? Like they're like burnt. No. It's like burnt into their arm. It's fucking dumb, I think, kind of. I mean, anyone who has that, you're not dumb. You're very awesome because you're listening to the Crazy Town Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You're an idiot. But yeah.
No, I didn't want to talk about that kind of branding. I want to talk about product branding.
Okay.
So, Let me throw out the definition. Entrepreneur.com defines branding as the marketing practice of creating a name, symbol, or design that identifies and differentiates a product from other products. An effective brand strategy gives you a major edge in increasingly competitive markets. So, I mean, branding's pretty important, wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tap into my inner Mark Cuban. Yeah, I think so. Branding's super important.
Well, right. Millions of dollars. I mean, just a couple ones that everybody knows. The Nike swoosh, the golden arches. You know what I mean? Like, those are just, I mean, you know what those are. I mean, obviously that's Burger King and Reebok, right? But.
Obviously, Jonas, obviously.
So, all right. But you know, I'm not here to rag about those kind of companies. They've done what they've done. But some companies have suspect brand names. So what I mean by this is some companies don't properly represent the products that they put out under their name. For example, I recently stayed in a hotel. I had to travel out of town. I stayed in a hotel and I had, you know, you have to open up the toilet paper, you know, cause it's wrapped up, you know, they have it all special for you. So I noticed that the brand name of this toilet paper was Guest Choice. Sounds elegant, doesn't it? Like everyone wants. It's the Guest Choice brand of toilet paper.
Makes you feel special when you're wiping your sensitive areas.
Right. You know, when you get your taint all, you don't want your taint all rubbed raw. But but I don't know what guest they got to do this, to choose this paper. But I want to punch him in the fucking face. I'm thinking they probably gave some homeless guy like two half-eaten grilled cheese sandwiches to so he picked this paper so they could call it Guest Choice. because that way they can, you know, as long as one guest says they like it, I mean, it's, I guess it's a guest choice, right?
I guess, man. How was it, though? Was it good? Dude. Was it a good grade of toilet paper?
Oh, obviously, because I'm talking so highly of it right now. It was like two elf pillows rubbing my cheeks together. Elf pillows. No, it was the thinnest, roughest, least likely to be chosen by any guest ever paper. So here's what was great about it. So not only was it like sandpaper, but it was so thin that you could poke your finger through and almost like give yourself a little fucking happy ending while you're trying to clean yourself.
I guess that's why most guests choose it then, maybe, huh?
Yes. I wonder what type of guests are staying in the hotel. I would guess that 95% of people would probably rather use a cheese grater to wipe than this toilet paper.
I've never tried that.
I mean, you don't have a grater sitting by your toilet, dude?
No, not in this bathroom. I just moved in recently, so.
My question is, why don't hotels have, like, baby wipes? You can get baby wipes cheap, dude. Like, everybody, like, you don't need them. But, you know what I mean? If you're going to travel, you might as well travel in style.
Yeah, or you know, if they're giving you a guest choice, why don't they give you the sandpaper toilet paper or sandpaper toilet paper and your choice of the baby wipes? Maybe at a premium.
Ooh.
You
know?
Yeah.
You can get a pack of wipes for, like, an extra, like, 50 cents a night on your stay.
And that'd be fine. I'd pay an extra 50 cents a dollar, $2
if I could use baby wipes. I would pay an extra dollar for Charmin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why? Yeah. Like, is there any other brand that you can think of off the top of your head that you've encountered like that? I do have another one here I want to talk about. Can you think of anything off the top of your head that maybe you've encountered before that just didn't live up to its name?
Wow, I can't think anything offhand, but right.
Well, no, that's fine. I mean they're not so obvious most of the time, but here's another one, and I think everyone's probably encountered this one because it's a brand that Walmart only carries. I don't know if you've noticed this. If you buy groceries at Walmart, they have a brand. It's called Price First.
Yeah, I guess when you think about it, that's kind of fucked up.
Right. Well, right. So
it's not you first.
No, it's price first. Which kind of makes sense because like literally the packaging is very plain. Like the only two products I really come off. There's two in general. One is like whatever. The second one I want to talk about in a minute. The first one I remember it's like Pop-Tarts. It's like strawberry toaster pastries is what they call them. But it's but it's in a dark blue box with white letters and it just says strawberry toaster pastries and they're like a dollar. And I get it. Price first. So, I mean, it sounds great. You know what I mean? Like, they're really looking out for you. They're really going on price first.
Yeah, we got to make sure that the price is first.
Thing. Right. You can get it low for the consumer. You know, the hardworking man can spend less money on his groceries. Here's the one that bothers me. The other place that I've really noticed this is milk. They have price first milk.
You would think that milk is pretty standard, though, right?
Right, but what conditions does this milk come out of?
Yeah, for the price to be first.
Here's what I imagine. The milking room for this company looks like some shady meth lab milkery. There's some fucking guy with an eye patch in a dirty white apron, like, sucking the milk out of the cow tit and then spitting it into a gallon jug.
Well, like his obese wife frets his three-legged dog in the corner.
Right. Yeah, right. And then, you know, it's probably not even normal cows. They get, like, the sick and dying cows, so they get them at a discount.
They have bootleg cows.
And then, so then you get the AIDS cows. And then, and then you get Uncle Timmy Titsucker transferring the milk into the gallons.
Oh, wow.
But hey, the price is like 48 cents less a gallon, dude. Price first, bitch.
Okay, maybe that's the price. Okay, the lower price is... I'm still confused on how they can give you milk at a premium. You would think that it all comes from the same places.
I don't know, man. But it, like, the more I thought about it, the more it freaked me out, especially on milk. Like I guess toaster pastries, you know, I mean, I can see that. Like, you have less quality flour, less quality... like you just use like fake strawberries instead of real strawberries. I don't know. But milk, dude, I'm telling you, it's shady. I want to go to their factory. It's shady. It would make Louis Pasteur turn over in his grave.
Right? I'm wondering. Man, you got me questioning everything I ever bought that was generic now.
Well, it's okay if it's generic. Just price first. That just rubs me the wrong way. Like Food Club or whatever the fuck they call it now, Great Value. That's great. But something about it being called Price First just hurts my heart a little bit.
I don't know. Food Club kind of sounds like an extremist group.
Yeah, well, that I think that what used to be that's either like the Giant Eagle brand for all you Ohio people, or it's like what Great Value used to be before it was Great Value at Walmart. I don't remember.
Yeah. But, I think that is Giant Eagle, though. Yeah.
For anyone who lives in the Midwest, you may know what Giant Eagle is. It's an expensive ass grocery store that's not for the high class. So, it's pretty fucked up. But that was hurting my heart, man. I had to get it out here on the podcast and talk about it with you. So I wanted to see what your thoughts were. So, you know, that's it. I mean, guest choice and price first, you know, those are,
I wish I had more to offer you.
Those are pretty in your face statements to make about a product.
Yeah. If it's going to be the guest choice, you would think that it would be better. That
magnifique,
it would be one of the best.
Would be the word.
Yeah. This is the thing that guests choose over anything else.
Yeah.
But
nope.
But instead, you're giving yourself anal with your with your shitty finger.
Right. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, Jesus. All right. If any of you guys out there have any other brand names that you think are suspect, shoot on over to Crazy Town. Maybe we'll keep it a running segment of suspect brand names. So that's all for right now. We will be right back on the Crazy Town podcast. All right, TNT. What? You know, Price First Milk, I'm still convinced, has a meth lab milkery.
They're concerned about that dollar.
Yeah, they are. They want to make sure the price comes first. I mean, it is like 28 cents cheaper than regular milk. So, I guess they're winning. Hashtag winning. Dragon's blood. HIV. I mean.
Whoa!
It's like that one time you said you're like Charlie Sheen and then you forgot he had AIDS.
I did say that.
Yeah, you did. Call back. Anyway.
This guy has an impeccable memory,
dude,
folks. It's
funny.
I
wish I didn't remember a lot of the stuff I do, but, you know, hey. Anyways, moving on. Episode 15 is the next clip.
All right.
TNT was on this.
What do we do?
We talked about a fine young lady named Amanda Willis, who was a bridesmaid from hell.
Is she hot?
I don't know, but you know, they say don't put your wang in crazy, and this bitch is crazy. So
I remember this story.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. It was over the top, man. You guys have to check it out. We'll be back right after this.
The Crazy Town Podcast.
Dynamite, do you know any crazy ladies?
Every girl I've ever dated.
Well. You know, I don't know if they've hit the level of this wonderful lady that we're about to talk about now.
No, they were like eat their own feces crazy.
Wow. Dated some shit eaters, huh?
One or two.
I can't judge, man. Can't judge them. I guess they liked it. But so this happened in Charlotte County, Florida. Go figure. Mm. All the crazy shit in the world happens in fucking Florida.
Well, you tell it.
This girl's name, she sounds like such a nice, sweet girl. Her name was Amanda Willis.
Aw.
And she was asked to be the maid of honor at her friend's wedding. You know, two BFFs fucking hanging out. Like, hey, girl, you want to be my maid of honor? She's like, yeah, oh, yeah. You know, I want to catch your shit. Like, not like literal shit.
I want to catch your shit. Most important day in that young lady's life, I want to catch your shit.
Like your flowers, you know? She wants to catch the bouquet. Yeah. She wants to be the next one married. She wants the frock.
The bouquet.
Yeah, the bouquet. So you know, after the wedding, you know, you have a little reception. And the article said that once the reception started, Miss Amanda Willis, in quotes, hit the bottle hard.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do at a reception?
Right, right. Well, It says that in about 20 to 30 minutes, she drank almost an entire bottle of Fireball.
Good for her.
Right.
I like
right.
a woman. I can put it away.
Right. So, you know, so, I mean, she's kind of fucked up. She does what any normal drunk girl would do. She starts asking everybody for their keys.
Wait, what?
She started asking patrons of the reception for their keys to their automobiles.
Yeah, because I'm drunk and you should drive home.
I just drank a whole bottle of Fireball. I need your keys. That sounds like a great idea.
All right. So, I can tell this is going somewhere.
Oh, it's going many places. So the first, so what she decided to do, like any normal person, she found the best man and just pulled the key, his keys out of his pocket. Because, you know, he wouldn't just give them to her, so she took them. Okay. She's a girl who just takes what she wants. She's a go-getter.
Okay, so far she's just a little sociopathic. Nothing.
Yes.
Nothing too bad so far.
Well, she decided she was going to take the car for a spin.
Oh, God damn it.
When she started backing the car up, she almost hit the best man, whose key she just stole. And then when she started going forward, he hugged onto the car and she started dragging him behind.
Oh, my God.
This is the best man. So then some of the other guests decided to intervene and wrestled Miss Amanda Willis out of the car, freeing the man being dragged behind it and getting the automobile out of her drunken grasps. So, which she decided she would just run into the house, because at that point, I'd probably be pretty embarrassed. What about you?
Yeah, I naturally would be. Can I just throw in that TNT Dynamite Industries, and I'm sure at the Crazy Town Podcast Incorporated, we do not advocate the use of alcohol while operating motor vehicles.
We do not condone drunk driving.
No.
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 No, we don't. So,
No.
No, we don't. So she goes into the house. And, you know, she's, you know, probably, yeah. Best case scenario, she probably should go lay down in her bed. Take a little nap.
Yeah, man. Hey, you well, fucking up.
Miss Willis decided it would be better to just start chugging Captain Morgan's out of the bottle instead.
Okay, yeah. I respect her. And then the drunk driving, I'm like, And then more drinking. I'm like, okay, I like this girl.
Right, right. She's a party girl. She likes to have fun.
Yeah, I respect that.
So they interviewed one of the guests at the party who said who was the one who said she went in, and when he confronted her, she hit him in the face after she came out of the house.
Does the story say why she hit him? What was the question?
Oh, he probably said, "I don't think you should be drinking," and she just smacked him. That would be my guess. So
yeah, I mean, that's probably enough to get hit.
At this point, they called the sheriff.
Oh, wow.
So the sheriff shows up.
Uh-huh.
And I got to give this girl some credit. She claimed that she was having an asthma attack. And then pretended to have a seizure.
Oh, yeah, because those two go hand in hand.
Right, right. When you're asthmatic, you also seize.
Yeah, because, yeah, that happens.
So they took Miss Willis away, and you would think that would be probably where the story ended. Oh, but it doesn't end there. When she got to the hospital, she exposed herself to sheriff's deputies.
Oh.
Then she assaulted two medics.
What the fuck?
And kicked her bedpan over.
That was the icing on the cake for you of the story.
That was the last thing they talked about when she kicked her in the bedpan. Then, it said, in a sad note, her and the bride are no longer friends.
Oh, that was the icing on the cake. It was the bedpan.
BFFs no more.
I could not be friends with a bedpan kicking bitch.
No, you know, forever is forever in this BFF. It's just best fucking friends. Yeah. They were fucking. But now they're not.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yes.
I didn't realize it was so insidious.
Well, she, right? She was charged with larceny, battery, grand theft.
Wow.
And a probation violation. Go figure. She was already on probation from something else. I mean, who would have ever thought that bitch would ever do anything that would be on probation for? I mean, that's a normal crazy night, right?
Yeah, you're a fucking maniac.
All right, let's be real. What kind of problems do you think this girl has?
I'm tend to think alcoholism is probably a strong issue with her.
What about
probably her main demon?
Do you think she's bipolar?
I mean, that's a possibility. But I mean, an alcoholic, they tend to have like those type of mood swings when it comes to, you know, they can't control themselves when they drink.
Do you think she's arachnophobic?
Where the fuck were the spiders? Where do you get this shit? Was there a spider? Did I miss something? I've been drinking, so no, you let I me just, know if I missed something.
I just wanted to know if you thought she was afraid of spiders, that's all.
Yes.
Ah, there must have been a spider in that bottle of Fireball.
Next question. Nailed it.
Yes. Does she live by the motto, two jerks, one squirt?
Come on, that's esoteric as fuck. Nobody's getting that, dude. Nobody's going to get that but me and you.
I think anyone that has a good sense of humor can laugh at two jerks, one squirt.
Two jerks, one squirt.
Sorry.
That's for all you premature ejaculators out there.
The Crazy Town would like to feel for you on the fact of your premature ejaculation.
Yeah. I don't feel like premature ejaculators are represented well in the podcast community. Maybe we should make a premature ejaculator podcast. What are we? You sympathize.
It'd be over before it started.
God damn it, this guy's a genius. Swear, man.
Anyways, that's as fucking crazy as it got. I thought it was pretty nuts. Like, if that shit happened, like, I can't even imagine. But you know what the best part about all this is? With today's day and age, you know there's so many videos of this that people have from this wedding. Like, you know, like, the whole thing is probably, there's probably, if you put all the videos together, it would be like a docudrama about, like, this fucking poor girl's fucking downward spiral. Like, she probably just, like, lost her best friend, and now she's in jail, and we're here to laugh at her and make fun of her, so.
Yeah, dude, I'm looking up video of it right now while we go to break.
All right, you check it out. If we find it, we're going to send some links for you, and we'll be right back at the Crazy Town Podcast. So, TNT, after hearing that and refreshing your memory, do you still want to know if she's hot?
I mean, look, not necessarily. I'm not trying to marry her.
Oh.
I come across misogynistic? I don't know.
You just wanted to ride the baloney pony to heaven?
You know, they say crazy girls fuck like maniacs.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's true. Speaking of maniacs, do you
know... I like that pause in there. I like that pause. Keep it going.
Do you know who protects us from maniacs? Security guards.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Or, you know, it could be the importance of security guards or the unimportance of security guards. It's episode 2, all the way back from the second episode, just me talking about my opinion on security guards. What is your opinion on security guards, since you didn't get to pipe in?
You mean like mall security? Or
yeah,
like store
or like
security?
They're sitting at the guard shack at your work, you know what I mean? You have like a gated work and they sit there and do whatever, or they're at the mall, or...
Whatever, I guess you gotta do a job, and don't follow me around the fucking store.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. They're definitely awesome. Why don't you check out my thoughts on security guards, and we'll be right back after this.
The Crazy Town Podcast.
I noticed the other day when I was going to work that they have a like a gate at the front. There's like a security guard that sits there. And, you know, I know that security guards are important to our society, kind of, like, I know a lot of them only have like a flashlight or like a fucking walkie-talkie or whatever, but I mean, they do provide a basic, I guess it would be basic simulation of security. And they have a great narking ability. They, I mean, they could let you know some danger is about to happen or tell you that you're doing something you shouldn't be doing real quick. Yeah, real good at that. I mean, they're basically like professional fun stoppers and tattletales, if you think about it. They really have no other job than to make sure you're not doing something that they think you're not supposed to do or let everyone know that something bad is happening. They don't really stop it. But they're real good at letting you know what's happening. Like, hey, you can't be over there, or hey, you can't smoke there, or hey, everybody, the bank robber's here. I mean, whatever. I mean, it's not. It's like I don't even know. It's fucking weird, man. But some security guards are way too fucking old. Like, I don't have anything at all against old people. Like, I mean, I'm not old, but I mean, eventually I'll be old, and I like old people. I like people with gray hair. I like people that have a lot of life experience. They can tell you a ton of cool shit. If you sit down and talk to like a 65-year-old dude, sometimes if they still have their wits about them, sometimes they have a lot of really cool shit to talk about. But you shouldn't be a security guard. Like, they should have to take like a basic fitness test. Like, you can get up and down out of your chair 10 times in an 8-hour shift and not fucking hurt yourself. Like, I mean, police have a fitness test. I mean, to be a cop, you can't just like fucking originally eat fucking whatever you want and whatever. Now, as time goes on, I mean, there's a lot of out of shape cops, right? But to get into the fucking academy, you gotta like be fit. You can't like, you gotta like run and do push-ups and shit. Now, I'm not even saying a security guard needs to run and do push-ups, but like, you can like walk without getting winded. That would be a good one. That would be really good. You can't rip your skin off your arm like wax paper. I'm sorry, that was a little over the top. But you get what I mean. Like, you need to have some sort of like ability to function as a person. Now, I'm not trying to compare real police to security guards. No offense. No way, shape, or form. I mean, I respect the police. They have a really hard fucking job that I wouldn't want to do. But basically, I think a good rule of thumb is that, like, if I could punch you in your rib cage and break your ribs into your lungs just from the brute force of my fucking hand, you shouldn't be a security guard. I mean, I don't think that's a bad stipulation. I mean, some of these guys you look at, you could fucking, like, toss them a softball and you'd break their fucking hand. I mean, like, they're so old. They were alive, like, when Cleopatra was. It was, like, their fucking prom date or something. But anyways, back to my fucking thing. So, like, I go to work, and they have this lady at security guard. It's like this chubby old black lady with this giant gray afro. Like, what the fuck is she gonna do if shit pops off? She doesn't even get out of her chair. She doesn't even look up to wave at you when you're coming in the gate. I could be a goddamn terrorist with a bomb van, and she'd just be like, she'd just be looking at Facebook on the goddamn computer. I mean, like, if she tried to do anything, what is she gonna do? Hyperventilate the perp into submission? She's gonna breathe on him real heavy and fast? Maybe she just ate some fucking garlic? I don't know. But my point is, like, if you're going to provide the illusion of safety or security, you should at least have the illusion that you're able to do anything. I mean, I don't really think that's too much to ask, but I mean, I know the world is a pretty fucking crazy place, and I'm just a fucking crazy guy with a microphone. What do I know about life? So let me know what you think about that. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be right back on the Crazy Town Podcast. All right, TNT, after hearing that, how do you feel about security guards?
The scum of the earth.
Wow, your opinion has changed. I've got some strong views. I'm like fucking Jim Jones of the security guard fucking things. Don't drink the security guard Kool-Aid, folks.
Send them all back to Cuba.
Right, Jesus. So anyways, we're going to head into the very last segment of the very last mediocrity moments of season one. It's the exact same story we ended season one with. The Tale of the Man Who Shot Ricky from Boys in the Hood.
Ricky!
Episode 18. The story of the actor who was the man who killed Ricky in the movie and how his life went fucking crazy town
after
he got done doing the movie. So, I hope you guys enjoy, and we'll be right back after this to wrap the final everything of season one up.
The Crazy Town Podcast.
You guys familiar with the movie Boys in the Hood?
Yeah, that's the one with the cheeseburgers and the guy who wanted to perform fellatio.
That is Menace Dos Society.
Okay, well, you know.
Chacha, are you familiar with Boys in the Hood?
I am, and it's been a while.
If you remember one scene from that movie, what would be your number one go-to scene from that movie? Do you remember?
Anything? Like, wasn't that very Stand By Me-ish, like, with, like, seeing a dead body and bullshit like that?
They did ask if they want to see a dead body. But for me, one scene that stands out in that movie is where they shoot Ricky in the alley.
Yeah, okay, with Cuba Gooding Jr., right?
Right, and they're like, Ricky! Okay. And he, like, gets shot, and he falls, and he dies, because Ricky's the high school football star or whatever, and he's going to get out of the hood. An interesting story about the man who played the man who shot Ricky. In that movie.
Shut up.
His name, Lloyd Avery II. He was...
Okay. Is that his real name?
That's his real name. He was, I guess, thug number two, the guy with the shotgun in the back of the red car.
Thug number two.
So I guess this dude, he's in this movie. He shoots Ricky. He plays a gangster. Whatever. So I guess from the article I read, this guy, he was a middle class guy. He lived in like the Beverly Hills area, not like in Beverly Hills, but in that area. So a nicer area of L.A. After he filmed Boys in the Hood, he changed. This is all from this article.
Okay,
He decided that he wanted to become a real gang member.
What?
Wow. Art imitating life and imitating art.
Oh, good one.
So he moves to the hood called The Jungle and joined the Bloods after he was in this movie.
Okay.
He went to the point where he tattooed the word jungles with a Z over his left eyebrow.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
So instead of like being an actor portraying gangsters, he became a gangster himself.
You sure he wasn't just, like, practicing for another role?
Yeah, he was just, he was actually in, method acting, that's what he was
practicing for.
John Singleton directed Boys in the Hood, and I guess he got a couple other roles in some other, like a Master P movie and, like, whatever, which he always played gang members or whatever. So then he starts getting real into this gang life. It said that his brother, they interviewed his brother for this article, and they said he started hanging out with teenage gang members, and it would send him on missions that they didn't think he would come back from.
Wow. Now, do you have any examples of these missions?
No, he didn't have any examples, but it followed it up by saying, by 1997, his rap sheet was respected by the gang community, so much so that another local gang member even got his face tattooed on his forearm.
Wow.
He turned into like the OG, triple OG, triple triple of the Bloods in the jungle.
That's crazy.
Right. So, it gets even crazier for this man. This is actually when things began to get crazy for him.
Oh.
One day, he was shot at in a drive-by, and he shot back at them.
That's a proper response, I believe.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not a gang member or anything, but I'm pretty sure that's a proper response.
Well, I mean, if anybody shoots at me, I'm probably going to shoot back, especially if I got my GAT, if we can call back to a rat-a-tat-tat from the fucking RU Urban game. So, then a month after that, he got into an altercation where he threw a concrete water meter through the window of a shopping center.
Ooh. Okay.
So he's turned into a model citizen, this Lloyd Avery II.
Sounds like it, yes.
Nice name, by the way.
I don't know, right?
That's a pretty baller name.
So I guess after this drive-by and this water meter incident, he decided the gang life wasn't for him.
It took that, of
course.
Right,
right. So he started the process of getting jungles removed from his face. He started getting the tattoo removal. Well, after he decided that the gang life was no longer for him, his gang troubles caught up with him before he could reform himself. He was arrested for murdering two people under a tree in a Santa Barbara plaza after arguing with them.
Wait, why does under a tree have to be specified in the murder?
Because from what it said, he walked up to two people who were sitting under a tree, got in an argument with them, and then shot them.
Oh, okay. All right.
It sounds like gang life.
This is like a shopping plaza. So I guess, he owned up to this, I guess. So the guy who killed Ricky ends up killing two people in real life, and he said that he wanted to go to Pelican Bay because it was the roughest shit. That was a quote. His brother said he wanted to go there because it was the roughest shit.
Where's Pelican Bay? Is that that's a prison, I'm guessing. Pelican Bay Penitentiary. Where's that at? Do you know?
It's in California somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess his brother said that he wanted to go there, then do a retrial, beat the charges, and then get out and do raps.
Raps?
He wanted to become a rapper because then he would have beaten a murder charge, so he would be legit.
So he had cred.
Jonas, I just want to point out, do you know how much of an old person you sound like when you say he wanted to do raps?
That's what the clip said. That's not the way I would say it. I would say he wants to spit rhymes, yo. But no, he said...
Oh, man, that's even worse.
I know.
He wants his picture on a bag of rap snacks.
Yeah, I want rap snacks with my picture. It'll be called the Crazy Town Edition Rap Snacks. It'll be cheddar bacon and love flavored.
You let us know when you want to drop that CD.
Oh, yeah, I'll be fucking out there. Anyways, in 2005, he lost his retrial, so his dream of becoming a rapper that beat rat of murder charges failed, and he was stuck in prison. In between his trials, he was in the LA County Jail, and he ended up befriending an inmate who turned him into a born-again Christian.
Ugh, it always happens when they go to jail.
So he went from actor to hardcore gang member to I don't want to be in this gang anymore to oh fuck, I got charged with murder, so I might as well go to jail, beat the trial, and become a rapper to born again Christian.
To Jesus, yes. Right. Okay.
So it says when he returned to Pelican Bay, he started leading prayer services and trying to spread the gospel. That was until he met his new cellmate named Kevin Roby.
Uh oh.
Kevin Roby was a Satan worshiper.
Sorry.
This is an amazing story.
I know, right?
This guy so far is seeming pretty impressionable, so I can only guess where this is going, but continue.
So, and this guy was in his 17th year of his 3 life sentences, so you know this dude didn't give a shit. On September 4th, 2005... he was laying in his bunk preaching the gospel to his cellmate who was worshiping Satan near a pentagram that he had drawn on the floor. Needless to say, they got into a fight and his cellmate killed him with a chokehold.
The Satan worshiper killed the...
Ricky Shooter, yes.
Oh, okay. That's sad.
Then 11 inmate counts went by. And the fucking prison never noticed he was dead.
What? What did he do with the body? Wait a minute.
He was like, he must have put it back in his, up in his bed or something. They didn't find the body till 2 days later.
So they do 11 counts in 2 days?
Yeah, they count prisoners all the time.
Yeah, I imagine they'd have to.
So they didn't find the body till 9/6/05. But how they found him was that the roommate had drug his dead body onto this pentagram and done a satanic ritual over it.
Get fuck out of here with that shit.
Yes. So he went from being the guy who shot Ricky and Boys in the Hood to gang member, non-gang member, prison guy, non-rapper, Satan worshiper, murder victim.
Well, it could always be worse. That's pretty fucked up, man.
Well, I figured what a better way to end the season than by talking to about the guy who killed Ricky in Boys in the Hood, because it's one of the most memorable scenes from any of those urban drama movies from the 90s. The man who killed Ricky went from a life of growing up in Beverly Hills to moving to the hood, getting thrown in jail, and getting murdered by a Satanist.
That's almost better than the movie he was in.
I know, right? His life is better than the movie Boys in the Hood.
Right? Do a movie about that.
So, let me throw a cheap plug in here real quick at the end of this. Do you guys like audiobooks?
Why, yes, I do, Jonas.
Well, you know, some of the listeners may not know if they like audiobooks, so they should get our free 30-day trial. Do you know how they can do that?
A 30-day trial for free? Where can I get such an amazing deal?
You go to www.audibletrial.com/crazytownpodcast, and you can get your very own 30-day free trial, and you're helping us pay the bills.
Whoa, so you mean I can get just about any audiobook I want and help the show that I love so much?
Right, and you can listen to it on your Android or your iPhone. Or even if you live in 1947 and still use an MP3 player, you can listen to it on that too.
Jonas, you've got to be shitting all over my dick.
Whoa.
This deal can't be real.
Wow, that's a lot of explanation for what you said.
Gotta be.
Right. Anyways, that is all the time that we have for this episode. Next week, we'll start season two, everybody. Thank you so much. It's been a crazy ride. Like, I started this 6 months ago and had no fucking clue what I was doing. I started it by myself. Dynamite's on board. It's all because of you guys. It's so great. I appreciate it so much. So TNT, tell everybody where they can find all your stuff, and we'll go from there.
Well, look, I got something to say, too. Thank you, Jonas, for one, for bringing me aboard to the show. I absolutely love being here. Thank you, everybody who listens in, joining us on our journey here through our craziness, tolerating us.
On our journey to the crazy town, per se.
Yeah, I know. We love every one of you, you know? And I'm TNT Dynamite. Hopefully I'll be back next season.
Oh, we can put the spoiler in right here. You're officially the co-host now, I guess. I mean,
spoilers, I'm back.
Right, yeah. Fucking no more fucking your guest host. I mean, you were on 11 of the 18 episodes. I guess it's not really a guest host at that point. So,
yeah, TNT Dynamite, I'm on the YouTubes, Twitter, TNT Dynamite. You might find me basically Seth. Who am I? Seth MacFarlane now. Yeah,
oh, wow, so. You were Seth Rogen, now you're Seth MacFarlane. So you're Seth, you're all
basically
Seth.
Him.
Are you basically. Seth Rollins from the WWE? Are you...
That's Henry Rollins, isn't it?
No, Henry Rollins is from Henry Rollins Band. Oh. You know, I know how you can get that confused, because it's called the Henry Rollins Band and all.
I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I'm basically those guys.
Yeah, he's all four of them combined into one person. If you took Seth Rogen, Seth MacFarlane, Seth Rollins, and Henry Rollins, and you mixed them into one person, that's TNT Dynamite in real life, folks. God. Anyways, if you aren't following the podcast on Twitter, at the Crazy Town Pod, if you do not do this, listen, your uncle will slit your fucking brake lines and you will die. Uncle Rufus will do it. Our cornucopia of information, thecrazytown.com. Go check it out. Rate us on iTunes. We appreciate it. We'll see y'all next week for the season 2 premiere. But for now, Jonas and TNT Dynamite, we are out.